an old-style portable shortwave radio. Frowning, he flipped a gang bar, boosting the flow of power from the nuke battery to the maximum. After several minutes, he turned off the electronic machine.
Still too much static.
He removed the headphones and tucked them beside the shortwave radio.
Damn thing will never reach the cave, much less headquarters. Better send a pigeon. Do you have one?
6 came in the caravan with Stephen.
Tell the boss what happened and ask for instructions.
At once. However, there are many stingwings about nowadays, and sometimes the birds don't arrive.
Locking the drawer, Overton nodded in understanding.
An interesting idea, but we dare not try. The Segment are loyal to him and the great project, not to me.
Key gave a bow of respect.
What now?
I'm going to a party.
Overton brandished the bottle as if it were a club.
You stay with Nathan. Monitor his every move. Don't ever let the man talk privately with Ryan.
And what about the others?
Send some of the boys to see what they know.
But we should be sure to leave them alive, so we don't incur Ryan's famous temper. A hostage, perhaps?
We have enough of those. Kill his friends, rape them, castrate them, nail them to the wall and feed their guts to the hogs. I don't care. Just get me some information.
As the door slammed shut behind the Baron, Key chuckled softly and withdrew a long, thin knife from a sheath attached to his forearm. The blade was abnormally thin, as if a regular knife had been honed to beyond razor sharpness.
By your command, my lord.
He stabbed his palm with the blade and watched the blood drip like rubies onto the cold stone floor. Overton heard the celebration long before he entered the main dining hall. Badly played music and off-key singing were rampant in the fortress. People cheered his approach for the first time ever. Servants bowed with respect, and Sekhmen in brown shirts actually saluted. He returned the gesture smartly, all the while marveling over the incredible change. That vagabond from the Deathlands gave him a hug, and now the people who were ready to die protecting their baron bowed before him in homage. Stupid cows, he sneered privately. They all deserve to die. Throwing open the doors to the great hall, Overton was buffeted by the waves of heat and light, the smells and cheers of the people, and the musicians in the corner struggling to force tunes from their instruments.
Here it is!
He slammed the bottle down on the table.
The last of the pre-dark wine.
A steward produced a corkscrew and opened the bottle, intending to let it breathe for a few minutes. But someone grabbed the container and started to fill glasses.
To the new allegiance!
A drunken Sekhman slopped some of the wine onto the table. Nathan lifted his mug listlessly.
To peace.
Overton forced a smile on his face.
To victory!
Death to our enemies!
Ryan slammed his mug into theirs so hard the pewter was almost knocked from their hands. Everybody else at the table lifted mugs along with the Cotters, J.B., Doc, and the others sipping their well water and acting as if it were strong home brew. As the three Cotter men tossed off their drinks, servants poured new ones from clay jugs.
It's been quite a while since you were last in this room in happy times, hasn't it, Uncle?
Having just as much fun.
I'll bet you are, Ryan. I'm sorry. You hate that. I apologize, Uncle.
Ryan kept his face neutral and toasted the man with the cup. He preferred to be called by his name, and Nathan knew it. This was another hint that things weren't as they seemed. The tension crackled like electricity in the air, and every time Ryan's chair was bumped by a passing servant, he started to draw his weapon. The hall was filled with celebration, but underneath it was a current of violence and hatred that rivaled anything he had encountered in his long travels. Desperately, he searched for some pretext to be alone with Nathan, if only for a few minutes. But wherever the man went, the Baron was closely followed by his own sect men and a squad of the Blue Shirts. Overton traveled in the same fashion, each shadowed by the other's troops. Checks and balances, a Mexican standoff. Baronial allegiance, his ass. For a fleeting instant, the red rage filled his mind, and he forced down the urge to flip over the table and chill Overton on the spot and damn the consequences. But Nathan could have done that any time. If he hadn't, there was a reason. Overton lowered his glass to the table.
By the way, dear father, I planned a hunt tomorrow in your honor.
Placing aside his untouched mug, Ryan smiled at the stranger across the table. Fireblast, so soon? He certainly knew a trap when he heard one.
A bear hunt, by any chance?
Overton beamed a happy smile.
Exactly.
You mean Cyclops? That old one-eyed muty grizz that's been bothering this vill for years?
Ryan glowered and rubbed his leg, wincing slightly.
I'm not going near that thing again. I pass, son. But thanks for the offer. You kill him and show that muty bastard what a Carter is made of, eh?
The table roared its approval, and Overton toasted the plan with his mug. He then rose, excused himself, and hurried from the hall. Once out of sight, Overton strode down a branching corridor that went directly into the kitchen. Past the double doors, the air was foggy with steam and richly scented with the smells of roasting meats. Darting servants froze motionless as the Baron strode past them and headed toward the plump woman frying forest mushrooms in a skillet above the huge wood-burning stove.
You there!
The Baron pointed. Both arms carrying a tray stacked high with dirty dishes, an elderly man near the soapy sinks gawked.
My lord? Of course, Baron Carter. How can I be of...
Is there a one-eyed grizz in the local woods? A giant that mauled Ryan in the leg?
The cook stopped stirring the mushrooms, and the scullery maid ceased her chopping as silence filled the kitchen. There was only one possible answer to that.
Of course, my lord. It's called Cyclops. A nasty brute ate my cousin.
Turning on a heel, Overton stomped from the kitchen and turned left in the corridor, heading for the lav.
That was close.
The cook hurried over to make sure there was nobody in the hallway. Collapsing on a stool, the steward wiped his brow on a sleeve.
Yes and no, my dear. Every baron's family knows the staff listens to their conversations to see if the meal is to their liking.
So Ryan was hoping we would cover the lie?
Yes.
The man scowled.
Go hunting with Overton, and it's certain you come back draped over the horse.
The plump woman pursed her lips, then spun and began stirring the mushrooms again.
I don't like this. I don't like this one bit. I have a feeling that Overton would make us long for the bloody rules of Harvey Carter and his bitch wife.
The dishwasher chimed in.
Shh! We shouldn't say such things aloud. Stay low and live. That's my motto.
Words to live by. But sometimes that isn't enough, old friend.
As the scullery maid continued chopping vegetables, the cook expertly tipped the iron skillet to fill a wooden bowl with the mushrooms and not miss a drop of the garlic sauce. A serving girl took the bowl and placed it on her tray atop a decorative doily. Hurrying from the kitchen, she paused by the steward for the man to spit on the food. Then she burst through the double doors, heading for the dining hall.
Special treat for Baron Overton.
She entered the dining hall, placed the steaming bowl at the head of the table, gave a curtsy, and departed for the next course. Ryan eyed the slimy mess in repulsion, wondering what the staff had done to the food. Spit or piss? Probably spit. It carried less flavor. Rumor was that Harvey had mostly dined on the saliva of the kitchen staff for his whole life. A wise baron never bullied the cooks.
To Ryan!
A sec man in brown shouted.
To Overton!
A man in blue replied.
To Baron Cawdor!
Doc's shouted toast curtailed yet another fight at the table. The people roared their approval with true gusto. Appearing from the crowd, Overton sat heavily at his chair.
So, tell me more about your journeys, father.
He speared a mushroom on a fork and ate the delicacy with gusto. The conversation turned to tales of battle and lies about women. Nathan excused himself at midnight, and it was near dawn before Ryan finally managed to leave without suspicion. As he climbed the stairs to the western wing of bedrooms, several blue shirts followed in his wake, with several brown shirts close on their heels. Acting much drunker than they were, Doc, Clem, and JB collided in the doorway, blocking the stairs in a drunken tangle of limbs, until Ryan was long gone from sight, his destination unknown. The music faded into the distance as Ryan climbed the stairs, turning and ducking down hallways and through curtained alcoves. As children, he and his brothers had played this game many times, but the Deathlands warrior never dreamed an intimate knowledge of the fortress would ever come into